Alrighty. Again, if you have a Bible with you online, if you're watching, if you have a Bible with you, please turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. And again, we encourage you guys to bring your physical Bibles to church. And turn with me now. Jonah chapter 3. You're going to be reading verses 6. To chapter 4 to 5, verse 5. Jonah chapter 3, verse starting from verse 6 to chapter 4, verse 5. And online and in person, if you could all rise, stand up if you're able for the reading of God's word. Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. Jonah chapter 3, verse 6.
This is God's word to us this morning. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish. When God saw that what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord says, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You join me in prayer one more time and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, your people have seen now and heard your word, the word of the prophet. Father in heaven, I pray that you have mercy on us, change us. Whatever that needs to be changed, only you know. You see our hearts, the depths of our being. May your word go forth, dividing and seeing the intentions of the human heart, places that we would never go and see. And you would work powerfully. Your word is powerful. It's able to save those who are humble of heart. Make us a humble people now, I pray. May we cast out all our pride. Is there any pride left? In the light of who you are,
Father in heaven, I pray that you have mercy on us now. Change us. Do a miracle in our hearts. Only what you are able to do. May your glory fall in this place. Your people might rejoice of the work of your hand. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.
We're again going through the book of, through the Bible series, and we are in this book, very familiar to many of us, Jonah and the Great Fish. Jonah is dated 784 BC to 722 BC, again before the exile. And the area of ministry for Jonah was Nineveh, which is present-day northern Iraq. We actually support a missionary in northern Iraq now. The Lord sent the prophet Jonah to announce again a disaster to the pagan city Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, unless they repented of their wickedness. Jonah hated the Assyrians. Now, why do you think Jonah hated the Assyrians? Why was he so disgusted with them? Well, the Assyrians were ruthless, evil, and wicked. Evil is not measuring up to what God has told us to do. The reason sin is evil in God's eyes is because we miss the mark. He says something and we don't do it. It is wrong. It is bad. What wickedness is doing the evil, but loving it. That was the Assyrians. They did the evil. They did the action that was wrong in God's eyes, but they enjoyed it. Loved it. They actually bragged about it. Not only did they kill babies, in Hosea chapter 13, verse 16, they would cut open the belly of the nation they conquered and destroyed. They would cut open the pregnant woman's belly and kill the baby that way. I got some slides here of what they did. Next slide. Here is what the Assyrians love to do. It's called impale the victims. Sort of like crucifixion. It was a large stake on the ground like that. And they would pierce their abdomen into ribs. Rib cages, and they would slowly kill them that way. Next one. They fray their victims. They would skin them, and they would hang them on the city wall. They amputated limbs, legs, arms, noses, and tongues, and ears. They burned small children alive. They will decapitate their defeated enemies, and with their heads, they will build pyramids. With their heads. See, one historian said they would actually decapitate their heads, and they will make a necklace out of their heads. That was the Assyrians. So what did Jonah do? He took off in the opposite direction. He hated the Assyrians. And tried to take a ship to Tarshish. As you know, during the trip on the boat, there was violence, and the sailors knew there was a problem, and they determined and found that the problem was Jonah. And as the story goes, they threw him overboard into the sea and a great fish. Notice it doesn't say a whale. It's a big fish, a great fish. Maybe we could talk about that a little bit in Sunday school. Why I think it says that. I've seen a lot of people say, oh, it's Jonah and the great whale. I think there's a reason for that. Because it's a miracle. The definition of a miracle is something that only God is able to do. Not a natural explanation of things. I mean, can you naturally explain the splitting of the Red Sea? I've heard scholars say the Red Sea was not really Red Sea. It was like knee high. That's how they were able to cross it. Not this miracle that man can't explain. A great fish swallowed him, and he had time and opportunity to, inside this, the belly of the great fish, cry out to the Lord and rescue him. And after God rescued him from the belly of this great fish, Jonah went to Nineveh and preached doom against it, reluctantly. And you know what happened? The unthinkable happened. The people of Nineveh took the message to heart. Repented before the Lord, from the top officials on to the least, even the king himself repented. Now, quiz. Do you know how many times did the Israelites, God's people, repented on hearing the prophets? You know how many times? Any guesses online? How many times did the Israelites repent on hearing the prophets? Remember, mind you, God worked with God's people for 2 centuries, hundreds of years. And the answer is almost never did they repent. The irony. This pagan nation, Assyrians, on hearing the prophet once, repented and turned from their sin. God relented. And his own people, who knew? He says, who knew from right and left? Who knew? Who knew what was right and wrong? And yet, they did not repent. Jonah was disgusted. Look what he says. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 and following. Look what he says. When God saw that what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented. That was God's promise. If you return, he will relent. He will forgive and not bring about punishment and doom. Relented of the disaster that he has said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was angry, he says. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew you are. And then he quotes Exodus 34, verse 6, of who God is. He knew. Prophet Jonah knew. The God of the universe was a gracious God. I knew. He was mad. I knew. If I preach doom against the nation, and if they repented, you will have compassion. Compassion. I knew that was going to happen. That's why I fled. I hated these people. They're wicked people. But through an object lesson over a vine, as the story goes in Jonah, the Lord taught the prophet this, that the souls of even the pagan, wicked, evil in the world are valuable to God. Let's say that one more time. The object lesson that Jonah learned, that the souls of even the pagan nation in the world are are valuable to Him. They are worth saving. God can and will love anybody.
再说一遍,
God can and will love anybody. I mean, was that that our Lord Jesus who embodied Exodus 34 verse 6? Who needed Him? That's a key point, children. If you need Jesus, and if you go to Him, He will save you. If you see your need for Jesus. Jesus always went to the marginalized, the children. Let children come to me. It's precious to His eyes. Back then, children were not that very precious. Jesus always saw the poor. Always. The blind, the outcast of society. The despised, the cripple. No value in society. And He sought them out. He came to seek and save the lost. Outside of this church, outside of the walls of your home, perhaps. I mean, are we reaching this? I mean, our church is in Pensfield, isn't it? Are we reaching outside of these walls? Are we the neighbors in the city? Your co-workers, perhaps, in your job?
And that's a hard thing for God's people to accept at times, just like Jonah.
I mean, do we forget? Do you and I forget that we too didn't deserve God's grace to us? Do we forget that we were pagan sinners, evil and wicked, living in darkness too, before God called us to Himself? Do we forget that we were wretched, naked and poor, without hope, not knowing from our right hand and from our left hand? Do we forget all that? Look at what Paul says about us. Before we, God gave His love and grace to us, brought us to Himself. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 2. It's a lengthy passage, but I think it's worth reading. This is what Paul says about us, you and me. You were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sin, in which once you walked, following the course of this world, following the principality of the power of prince of the power of the, in other words, we are following Satan. We're Satan worshippers and followers. Did you know that? The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. We are marked for wrath. That's who you were. We think we're special, like rest of mankind. And verse 4, but God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Raised us up with Him, seated with Him in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His kindness, riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And verse 12, remember God's people, you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. This day, did you forget that's who you were? Remember, we ourselves were brought to Jesus to be saved. And out of the compassion for the lost, just as God has shown compassion on this evil, wicked person, bankrupt, we should be moved. The compassion moved from the bowels, the heart. Not just because God told me we should do it, and we should do it. We need to be moved of what has happened to us. To be moved to work for the same blessing to others, suffering under the burden of sin. And for me, that person for me was John Saw. I don't think he remembers what he did. Probably not. I was a pagan as anything, focused on myself. The pitiful stuff. Remember, I always tell this because that's who I was. You know, I could give a laundry list of who I really was, but I save you that. I remember I was walking across the first semester of my freshman year. And John Ho, he was my classmate in high school, and he moved to another school, and he recognized me. And I think he was. He was converted, and he asked me and invited me to ACF, Agape Christian Fellowship. Now, of course, my motive was not because I love God and Jesus and the Bible. I love myself. My life was about myself. What could I do to lift myself up? People to look at me. A great young man. I think you don't have that problem. You're surrounded by sin. Surrounded by hunger. The neighbors perhaps. Even outside of this wall, houses, floors. Bring them, call them, bring them to faith. Someone who defies ends up being loved and blessed by God in spite of us. The reality is, those unbelievers are surrounded by unbelievers. It's probably the only chance that her parents would hear anything. Seriously, they're not going to go to church. They're not going to want to hear. Who's going to tell them if it's not from my wife? Seriously, it's all from their life, from now on to their death grave, never ever hearing. Your neighbors, who are they going to hear from? Most likely hear from you. Your co-workers, who are they going to hear that from? Our love has given us. God can't love see anybody. Our love. We like to thank God others that we only love. The same personality, same surround ourselves because we love. We don't reach out to them. Our love has limits. For if while we were enemies, you were criminal in the eyes of God. You were a criminal. I was a criminal. Running around destroying God's creation, destroying God's people in ways that we don't even know. We're making room, causing a havoc in God's through our evil and wicked. While we were enemies, criminals, we were reconciled to God, like that. Much more, now that we are reconciled, how shall we be saved by His life? More than that, we also rejoice in God through us.
Imagining my life without God all the time. The worst that could happen. The truth of what God has done for you. Meditate on who you were before, the clear view of who you were, what Christ. Seek God to save. That was in college, or when you were little, or when you were older. I don't want a field trip to go out and now talk to your neighbor. Have an organic Ephesians chapter 3. That's my prayer. Paul's prayer. for this reason I bow my knee. From every family in heaven and on earth, that according to the riches of the strength of the power of the Spirit, so that Christ dwells in your heart, that he may be rooted and grounded in love, grounded, knowing who you were and the love that rescued you from criminal to the Son of God, enemies to friend of God, love. They have strength to comprehend all the things. What is the breadth and length and height and to know the love of Christ that surpasses my brother. Because outside of this wall, outside of your home, walls of your home, pray for opportunity. Pray for boldness in your workplace. Be creative about teaching sinners. Bless to all the heads that are in God. Father in heaven, so fixated on accumulating the wealth of the world, accumulating big spots, climbing the corporate ladder.
So fixated on worldly wealth, worldly success.
Go across the aisle. Take risks to be rejected by our people. How will they hear? You don't have to be a great evangelist to have a testimony of the work that you have done. You have changed us. A theologian, we would testify to the world, to sinners, of what you have done in Christ Jesus. The marvelous work you have done. Anyone could do that. Maybe be a testimony. Share our testimony of your great work of mercy and love and compassion to us. Help me be so moved to be grounded in that love. Learning that love, the breadth and the width and the height, the love in Christ Jesus that we have experienced. Oh Lord, may we move with that and reach sinners who will bring them to your Son. And you will be moved because you are Yahweh, compassionate God. You always forgive sinners who turn to you and need help. Oh, we pray for the children of this church that they will also see and be moved by the work of your Son. May the world's accolades and accomplishments grow dim. May they seek Christ, I pray.
The greatest treasure that they could have. Oh, pray for our parents. That we not only focus on the grades in school and how well they do. Forgive us. But when we saturate their lives of the work of Christ in their lives, that they might see and know, I pray. We pray for this church. Help us to move our hearts again to reach outside of this wall, not just enjoying the blessings for us, but that we be moved to share, bring many sinners to yourself, just like what you have done to us. Grace upon grace. Lord, we thank you. Help us now, this church. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.